Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1. With Opel and the all-new Opel Astra. German engineering at its core. It's our most efficient Astra yet.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
You don't need me to tell you that since the COVID restrictions have kicked in, everyone's social life has been totally disrupted. And one of the few highlights for many of us now is the weekly supermarket trip. How glamorous. Well, yesterday we got some great guidance about the best way to shop for your household. But regardless of what budget you set or how detailed your list is, we all recognise the phenomenon of coming home with far much more than you plan to buy. So how do the supermarkets do it? How do they successfully prize more money from our wallets week in and week out? Evelyn O'Rourke has been finding out more. Evelyn, we all know that experience. You nip in to get a couple of things. This was me last night, and you end up with bags of stuff.
Every time, Claire, every time. I go in, I don't even get a basket. I nip back to get a basket. And then when you find yourself going back to get the trolley, that's a really, truly tragic shopping trip. But yes, as Christmas season is coming, you did great stuff yesterday covering the big shop. We're aware that the shops are more intent than ever on seducing us, the consumers. And you know what? They've had years of advice and working on this and research and psychological tricks ready. And evidence would suggest that for most people, there is a little wriggle room there, that there was a spend of 10% to 15% more than they'd budgeted for. The supermarkets know this, and they use their expertise or their dark arts to get that spend from you. So to find out more, Claire, I started by visiting one of my local supermarkets, and I went along with James Burke, who's a retail expert, and he spends a lot of time working with retailers, giving advice to them. And we started our chat outside as James let me in on the first few tips.
I've spent probably 30 years in the retail sector, and I suppose you're always looking at ways, new ideas. How do you get your sales up? That's the brief of any good retailer.
Now, I often arrive, I've got my budget, I've got my list, but I can be distracted, can't I?
Exactly. In general, the retailer's job is to display well and use smells and colours to get the customer excited. There is a science, like if you put people into an open space and they come in a door, do they go left or do they go right? Now, there's two schools of thought on this. A lot of the evidence is that more people will go left, which is the opposite in the States. The theory is that it's to do with the side of the road that you drive on, that naturally you will push a trolley on that side first, at least.
Now, when you go to lay out a supermarket, you know, what are the kind of the tricks you're trying to build in to encourage shoppers to spend that bit more?
Starts outside the door, actually, where we're standing here at the moment. That's to do with the trolley. The bigger the trolley, the more the spend. You're encouraged subconsciously to fill it. That's the first piece. And I suppose as you walk in very often, you know, there's a wonderful aroma, very often bread. But bread is a good example, actually, because COVID has brought some challenges. Now the bread is baked fresh, but it has to be put back in bags as part of the protocols. So they've lost some of those magic moments, but it's that sense of excitement. Otherwise, you'd be shopping online. And if you come in store, you are saying, well, look, yes, I have a list, but I'm willing to look at a few other bits as well. And I think that to some degree, people want a bit of structure when they're shopping. They want logical categories, and there's a whole science behind laying out and grouping products together, even what's called adjacencies. So, you know, if you're going to buy beautiful Irish strawberries, very often the cream will be in a separate fridge in the fruit and veg department beside it, because logically most people will buy the two together. And tastings, although you're not allowed to do them at the moment with the restrictions, but that is a number one marketing tool, probably ahead of your social media and other channels as well.
And then, Evelyn, you went shopping. So you chose your trolley, you headed on in, but what was your big plan in the supermarket?
Well, I chose a midi-sized trolley, and of course it started with the coin. I'd no coin on me, so already it was a bit of a disaster. But I was going for the midi-sized because, as James says, the bigger the trolley, the bigger the spend. And as you said yesterday, do not go when you're hungry. That is a disaster. So in the store, as we all know, you start with that all-important bread and the pastries. But when you start to look at it through James's eyes, you start to notice that every few shelves along of the kind of the dull, the predictable but necessary items, there was a little shelf of biscuits or some kind of little treat. So you do start getting into the thing of, ah, there's a little reward here. I've done the dull bit. Now I deserve a little biscuit here. He also made the point that the Irish mammy is a powerful force with shopping and making decisions, although, and he says, have great pester power too. So here myself and James were busy making our way around the store, and James gives me even more tips and insights into these tricks.
So we've just come in the door. We're in that first aisle. There's a burst of colour from the fruit and veg department. And take a deep breath there. We can smell this beautiful wafting fresh bread. And my God, I'm going putting some of those loaves into my trolley. Fruit and veg would be the other one that would be vying for that front space, both sending a very strong fresh signal to the customer.
Posh pastries now. They're up the front because they're a little treat.
Start with the treat, start with the stuff that is appealing to the senses. And music plays a factor, and there is a psychology around this. I'm not sure that I fully subscribe to it, but that certainly correctly chosen music will influence the speed at which the consumer will shop. This is the real market now. We do produce is out on open display, the meat and stuff like that. There is light specifically for meat. If you put ordinary fluorescent tubes on steaks, the steaks will look positively anemic looking. Whereas if you put the correct lighting there, it will show the natural colour of them. So it isn't as if anybody is faking the colour, but there is a thought process that even goes into the lights. Again, aromas on this back wall area. There's a hot deli counter here. Barbecue chicken. You're going to be hooked on that one. Okay, so we're coming down onto the first aisle. Lots of jars and packets and stuff like that. And that shelf or two that is at eye level, every retailer and every brand will be vying for that space. There's a complex process called category management that goes on. And the end layout that we're looking at here is called a planogram. I'm looking down and there's a well-known rice product, but you'll seek those out. Whereas the ones at eye level might be newer brands, whereas you're going to look for the canned tomatoes, which are right down on the bottom shelf, because you're going to say, where are they? Yeah, so we're just going past the oil section here now, and there's a lot of boring or routine larder products leading into it. But then the chocolates, what the retailer is trying to do here is to say, do you require a little treat? What would you like from this particular section? So each retailer is trying to woo you, say, look, I'm better than the guy across the road. And that's part of the magic.
Now, Karina Stone brought me out to meet her because she was a great shopper. This is a wonderful woman who's got 7 children ranging in age from 14 years to a little baby. And she told me how she approaches shopping with 7 children to organise, and also how the trip to the supermarket has become an exciting highlight and a really big event in her week now.
Absolutely. You have to put the makeup on. Well, eye makeup only, obviously. Get out the door. But radio blasting, like, all of the feels of a night out, and you're only going to the supermarket. How crazy is that?
Tell me about your average shop pre-COVID, and then we'll talk about it since COVID.
Pre-COVID, I used to have to bring all the children with me because my husband works full-time and I have the 7 kids full-time myself at home. Now it's a whole different experience because I'm on my own. Like, it's an outing.
You're enjoying it.
Yeah. The kids are great, like, when we go shopping, and they are good. They don't beg for stuff, but they help insofar as they decide what we want for dinner as we're going around, which is great. But now I have to do it all on my own, on the spot. I'm a savvy shopper, I would say, now, and only because I got caught. And I think you can only really, truly be a savvy shopper if you get caught. Do you know the way the old leaflets come in and these fantastic new offers in the different supermarkets? Now, probably about 4 or 5 years ago, I said, oh my God, I need this from here and I need that from there, but that's cheaper over there, so I need to go there for that. I come home and totted up the bills. Oh my God, it was like €400 or €500 for a week shopping. Bananas, like, absolutely crazy. So I said, never again, never, never am I going to get caught out like that again. And I do the usual, like everyone does as well. You bring a basket in, you say, right, I'm not going to buy loads. Of course, halfway around, you ditch the basket and go back out and get a trolley anyway. But at the moment now, I don't so much have a list, I have it in my head. I have the rough idea of what I want for dinner. And I keep an eye out for the offers that are in store. I like to get about 80% done in the first 2 aisles. So it's fresh fruit, fresh veg and the meat. So then I know that I have the dinners and all the basics done. You know, washing detergent or shampoos or any of that, I don't buy those weekly. I'll wait till they're on offer somewhere. So like yesterday, I had a great deal on the washing powder. So I ran in and I got 4 or 5 containers worth. So that'll do you a couple of months. It is a big outlay, but it saves an awful lot in the long run.
That's Karina, CEO of a family of 9 in total, Evelyn. You went to find out more about the psychology around our shopping habits and behaviours.
Yes, and she's got great advice actually on her online forum, It's Cherry Stone. But yes, I met up with Stephen Rust, Claire. He's an expert on consumer psychology and insights, and they've done a lot of interesting research about the way our habits have changed pre-COVID, post-COVID. So here's Stephen Rust. He's the Managing Director of Empathy Connects. Here he explains more about the results of that research.
We did see a change back with COVID, and actually back to the way we were shopping 10, 15 years ago, where it went back to the big stock up items. And it'd be interesting how that evolves now, because that does affect the way stores lay out, the way they work, what offers they offer. The second one is technology and online. I'm very much of the view that retail stores will be there. It's not that they're going to shut up shop and just everything's going to be bought online from now on. Probably the opposite, where they will actually cater to people who want to go in and look and touch and feel the product and see which one they want to select. But online, yes, is growing. And we actually just did a recent piece of research looking at the Christmas grocery shop. 96% intend to still do their big grocery shop in store. However, there's also 28% who are going to do an element of it online. So a mixed shop. So yeah, big trend that the industry has to adapt to. And I'm oversimplifying this. There's typically three types of shopping trips that we can go on. The big trolley shop. The second experience, we're just going in to top up on a few items. And you see how supermarkets are catering to that now, where you have the fast track tills. And that brings a whole different level of expectations. And then there's the third mission. Literally, you know, we're just going in and filling with fuel or grabbing the paper. And that mission has got a whole level of different expectations. So supermarkets really have to kind of shape how their range, their layout, their parking they have to cater to these three different needs. And it's a constant challenge for supermarkets to make sure they can do that right. The big learning over the years, you know, perception is everything. Us as shoppers could be typically shopping across anywhere between 2 to 4 different retailers a week. So if we're not happy with a store or we perceive it not to be good, it just comes off our list. We'll go somewhere else. We typically see three factors: how much time the shopper has to spend, the level of angst in the actual shopping experience, and value for money. And we're really seeing that grow each time we talk to shoppers.
Well, we're wise to them now, Evelyn. That's Stephen Ross there talking to Evelyn O'Rourke. Thank you very much for bringing us that report.